Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players in a thrilling story of suspense and intrigue. RKO Radio Pictures' Experiment Perilous. It stars George Brent as Dr. Bailey, Ruth Hussey as Mrs. Bedderall, and Adolph Monju as Nick Bedderall. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in Experiment Perilous.
It may have been for any one of a number of reasons. Because I was a doctor, a psychiatrist, or because my friend Clegg had had a few drinks. Or more important, because he was a top-flight artist.
I wanted you to see it, Hunt. It's my masterpiece. Finest portrait I ever painted. What do you think?
Well, as a doctor, I'd say it's very interesting. As a man, I'd say it's very disturbing. Who is she, Clegg?
I had a hunch you'd ask. Now, that's why I think the portrait's so good. Her name's Alita. Nick Bedero's wife.
You mean the Nick Bedero?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one you're always reading about. He's quite a guy.
He must be. Art patron, sportsman, rich as Croesus, and apparently with a very beautiful wife.
Alita's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
It's funny, Clegg. You never mentioned her before.
I used to think I was in love with Alita some years ago when I first met her. Me and a dozen others.
Oh, you forget your attachments pretty easily.
No, you don't forget Alita easily. There's something fateful about her.
What do you mean?
Well, it's hard to say exactly, but, look, why don't you come and see for yourself?
Come where?
Well, they're having a tea this afternoon to unveil the portrait. I'd like to take you along. How about it, Hunt?
Well, you've convinced me, Clegg. I think maybe I will.
Well, I'm happy that Clegg brought you along, Dr. Bailey. I almost feel as if I know you.
Really, Mr. Bedero?
Yes, I read your article on the Napoleonic Complex. Always suspected I might have something of the sort.
Oh, hardly.
Look, Nick, we came to see Alita.
Oh, of course. Over here. Alita, my dear, here's your favorite artist.
Why, Clegg.
Hello, Alita. May I present Dr. Huntington Bailey?
Mrs. Bedero.
How do you do?
Alita, we're very fortunate having Dr. Bailey with us. He can reassure you about Alec's appetite.
We have a 5-year-old son, Doctor.
Why don't you pour the doctor some tea, my dear? He can sit and talk with you while Clegg and I go find something stronger. Come along, Clegg.
Doctor, you will have some tea.
Thanks. That's the gown in which Clegg painted you, isn't it?
Well, it's not a pose, really. Nick designed the gown, and it pleases him to see me wear it. Clegg does paint beautifully, doesn't he?
Oh, I don't know anything at all about painting.
Sugar?
Oh, no, thanks. But I did tell Clegg I thought your portrait was disturbing.
Why?
Well, there was something in the expression of the eyes.
Yes.
And I wanted to see for myself if it was the artist's imagination or if it was really there.
And what have you decided?
It's there.
You haven't tasted your tea.
Yes, I know, but aren't you curious about what I saw in the picture or thought I saw?
Yes, of course.
As a matter of fact, that's why I came. You
oh,
see, I...
No, I knew you were a doctor, but well, you didn't seem like that. Please don't.
Oh, Mrs. Bedero, I'm...
Oh. Dr. Bailey, I've been waiting all afternoon for a chance to talk to you. Can you spare me a moment?
Mr. Bedero, you're my host.
Yes. Of course, you must think it rather strange, Alita dropping her cup like that.
Oh, accidents happen.
Doctor, you must be used to meeting emergencies in your practice. So am I, in a mild way. But they've never involved peril to myself, nor to anyone I love.
Peril?
Yes, peril. Alita isn't quite, well, like other people. You must have seen that. You're keen enough to have seen it.
Still, peril is a rather strong word.
Do you remember the lines? Life is short and the art long. Decision difficult, experiment perilous. No, the word is well chosen, Bailey. And I need help. I can't go on without it.
Oh, but Mr. Bedero,
I thought perhaps I'd come to your office, talk to you, arrange to...
Hunt Bailey.
Oh, there, the inevitable interruption.
Oh, Hunt, I have to be off. You coming or staying?
I'll go with you, Clegg. Goodbye, Mr. Bedero.
Goodbye, Bailey. Tomorrow?
If you'll telephone the office.
Come on, I'm late. Oh, so long, Nick. Have a nice time, Hunt?
Very pleasant. She's completely charming.
Oh, Alita. Well, you've seen the picture and the model. Is it a speaking likeness?
No. I think if I were painting her, I'd do her quite differently.
You would? How?
Well, For one thing, it wouldn't be that solemn face or that elaborate gown. I think I'd paint her full length in a country field and the sky beyond her, and rich green grasses and a lot of daisies.
Daisies, no less. Oh, so she's captured you, too.
What do you mean?
Not a thing. Come on, let's go out and round up a cab.
There hasn't been much written about the family, Dr. Bailey, but I found this one article in an old issue of the Manhattan Magazine.
Oh, thank you, Miss Wilson.
I've marked the important paragraphs. Nicholas Bedereau has a rather comfortable explanation for his many benefactions. Some men, he says, raise horses and race them. I prefer to gamble on human beings. Mrs. Bedereau's hobby is simpler. She raises country daisies in her city yard.
Country daisies?
Yes, in her city yard, but does not go in for flower shows. The article is signed A. Gregory.
Thanks. You can leave it here. I want to read it myself. And Miss Wilson?
Yes?
When Mr. Bedereau comes in, will you please see that we're not disturbed?
Bailey, I've come this far with it. You might as well have it all. And frankly, I'm afraid I'm almost convinced that Alida is out of her mind.
Really? What makes you think so?
Her strangeness, her idiosyncrasies, many things. That's why I want you to see her. On a friendly basis, so she won't suspect. And then, if you think it's merely a case of nerves, or if she is not imagining these things...
Well, now, suppose you tell me exactly what it is that she or you imagine.
That I imagine? Oh, yes, of course. That would occur to you. She's convincing enough. She's almost convinced me once or twice.
About what?
The daisies, for instance.
Daisies?
She sends them to herself at odd times, on her birthdays particularly. Here, look at this note. It's her handwriting. I got it from the florist.
4 dozen common daisies to be sent to Mrs. Bedereau. No card. $5 enclosed. Well, why daisies, do you suppose?
Well, I don't know. And there are other things. She thinks she's followed when she goes shopping. She imagines I've put doctors to questioning her without her knowing. She's afraid of doctors.
Yes, I know.
And then, of course, there's the boy. He has nighttime terrors, bad dreams, monstrous fears. Lions and tigers under his crib. I don't know what she's doing to him. I can't even tell you. You'd have to see for yourself. I thought perhaps if you could come to dinner...
But your wife dislikes doctors.
I think Alida was taken with you, and I'll ask her to invite you. Will you come?
Yes, I'll come.
Good. I'll have Alida drop you a note, and I won't take any more of your time now. Thanks a lot, Bailey. I hope we'll see you soon.
Daisies. Daisies in the country field, in a city yard. Daisies at odd times. On her birthdays in particular. Rich group. Hello?
Hello? Dr. Bailey?
Yes?
This is Alida Bedereau. I've got to talk to you.
Why, of course.
I'm at the art museum, the French wing. I thought if you could meet me here...
Why, certainly. You eat there, wait there, and I'll be right over.
I'm sorry I had to ask you to meet me here, Doctor. Almost every other place I go, I have a feeling I'm being followed.
Well, this is as good a place as any other. Besides, if we whisper, it won't be noticed. They sort of expect whispering in a museum.
Dr. Bailey, you must think me very strange calling you like this, and yesterday being so upset when I learned you were a doctor.
Well, whatever your reason for disliking doctors is your own, but just don't think of me as a doctor. I'd like to be your friend. I am your friend.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, I've been thinking about you. Even read up on the Bedereau family. An old article in the Manhattan written by someone named A. Gregory. Do you know him?
That was a long time ago.
Yes?
I don't know. I've forgotten.
It's a curious thing he wrote, that you raise country daisies as a hobby.
Is that so strange?
What?
That I once raised daisies?
Why, no. No, on the contrary. Why, I even told Clarence.
Dr. Bailey, I thought you wanted to be my friend.
I do, and I am. You must believe me. I know that you need help.
How do you know that?
Well, it's in your eyes and in your voice. It's in the portrait, too. If you'll just talk to me.
We're not here.
All right, my office, then. I'll go on ahead, and I'll wait for you. I sent my nurse home. No one will know that you've been here, Mrs. Bedero. Oh,
thank you. I hardly know where to begin.
Well, perhaps with your husband?
I'll do the best I can. Some of it I know myself, and some of it I've learned from Sissy.
Sissy?
That's Nick's sister. She was almost 15 years older than Nick. She died last year in a sanitarium.
Oh, why was she in a sanitarium?
Well, Nick had her put there. It was done very quietly, of course. She told me once about the night Nick was born, the night his mother died, and how their father was made mad with grief and anger. How he swore that his son had cost him his wife. He never looked at Nick again, never touched him or played with him. And about a year later, on the way back from Europe, he took his own life, jumped overboard.
Who raised the child?
Sissy did, really. In a way, she brought me up, too.
Oh, then you've known Nick ever since you were a child?
We lived in the country, a little house near the corner of the Bedero estate. Nick was a good deal older, of course. But even when I was very young, he'd come to the field where I was playing, bring me a trinket and smile because it made me happy. He was good to my family, too. Persuaded my father to let him pay for my education, and afterward a year abroad. I think I know why now. He thought he was creating something perfect for Nicholas Bedero.
When were you married?
When I returned from Europe. Oh, I was flattered, excited. I even thought I loved him.
And when did you know you didn't?
My birthday party. The first year we were married. We had quite a large group, a lot of young men. Somehow there always seemed to be a lot of young men about.
I can understand that.
I remember I was at the piano when Alec walked in.
Alec?
Alec Gregory. I liked him very much. There was something wild about him that night. I thought he'd been drinking, and he had a bunch of flowers in his hand.
Daisies?
How did you know?
Oh, call it a guess. Please go on.
Well, Alec made quite a scene of it, wishing me a happy birthday, and Nick was amused, as he always was. He seemed almost proud that I should be attractive to other men, to younger men. Until later...
What happened?
Well, I'd gone back to the drawing room to pick up my handkerchief. Alec followed me. He told me he loved me. He held me and kissed me, and then Nick walked in.
What did Nick do?
Nothing. Just stood there and smiled. And then he turned on his heel and left the room.
Is that all?
No. Alec stayed after all the others had gone. He and Nick were in the library. I could hear them quarreling. I would have gone in, but Sissy stopped me, made me go upstairs to my room.
And then?
Well, it was a long time before Nick came up. He was very gay, happy, almost like a young boy. He...
Yes?
Well, the next morning I learned that Alec was dead. He'd been killed on his way home, run down by a cab.
Oh. How did Nick take it?
He was sympathetic. He seemed quite moved. He was kinder and sweeter than ever before, and especially when our boy was born a few months later. And yet, I...
Yet what?
Oh, Dr. Bailey, you were right. I do need help.
I've already offered it.
Well, Nick suggested this morning that I ask you for dinner. Will you come tomorrow?
Of course.
There's only one thing. If Nick goes up to the boy while you're there, will you try to follow him?
To the boy's room? Why?
Because I think Nick hates him. I think he hates his son with all his heart.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
Among your many friends, perhaps you know a woman who is like this. She is alert and modern in every way except one. She still uses a lot of different creams and lotions for her skin. She doesn't know that science has found a better way to keep skin looking fresher and younger. This takes only a few minutes each day. You use only one cream, my Lady Esther four-purpose face cream. Simply smooth on this one gentle cream, then wipe it off. The cream itself does the work, not your fingers. It's so soft it doesn't need rubbing in. This one cream alone is all you need. Because, you see, Lady Esther four-purpose face cream does all four things your skin needs most for beauty. It thoroughly cleanses your skin. It softens your skin. It helps nature refine the pores, and it leaves a perfect base for your powder. To speed up and increase the results, just do this. Once a day after applying the cream and wiping it off, immediately repeat the process. Again apply Lady Esther four-purpose face cream and wipe it off. Now this is the most important part, because after cleaning off surface makeup and dirt, it is this second creaming that gets after the clinging, oily film which clouds your skin. Remove this, and naturally you see new tone, new color, a fresher, clearer, younger look. You feel a smoother softness, and you look years younger.
And now, Lady Esther presents the second act of Experiment Perilous, starring Adolphe Monjou, Ruth Hussey, and George Brent.
I sat up very late that night, smoking and thinking, and finally admitting to myself that where Alida was concerned, my thinking wasn't entirely professional. I could hardly wait until the following evening, till I arrived at the Bedero home for dinner.
How are you this evening, Bailey?
Oh, usual, I should say.
Well, you look a bit tired. Have a hard day?
Just short of sleep.
Well, you need a drink. I'll fix you
Nick,
one that will...
Nick!
Oh, Alida. Our guest is here, my dear.
Oh, Doctor, I'm so sorry. I was with our youngster. He was so upset I had
oh,
to...
Oh, please, Alida, spare us the details. You see, Doctor, my wife takes her maternal problems too seriously. I insist she lay them down when the boy goes to bed. Glass of sherry, my dear?
Please.
A five-year-old boy must cry it out. Sometimes, you know. Doctor, don't you agree?
Well, for myself, I'm old-fashioned, and so are children and mothers.
Wait till you have one of your own.
5 years old, did you say? What's his name?
Alec.
Alex.
Alexander. Alexander the Conqueror. And we hope he grows up
Nick,
to be like
Nick,
his...
may I have another sherry?
But, my dear child, you haven't finished the one you have. Doctor, sometimes she does the strange...
Please, Nick. I think we can go into dinner now.
Doctor, if you'll sit here between us, Alida and I want to share you.
Nick, where did those...
Oh, my dear. Another of your charming flower arrangements. Doctor, don't you like them?
Daisies?
Nothing so spring-like for the table there.
But I didn't. Nick, I ordered American Beauty roses. You must believe me. You must.
Oh, my dear child, of course we believe you. The florist was probably sold out, or he didn't have any fresh enough. Or the delivery boy mixed up the boxes. Or perhaps you did order them. What does it matter?
Oh, Dr. Bailey, I don't...
Sometimes the power of thought, self-hypnosis, wouldn't you say, Doctor?
Oh, sometimes. You know, there's a great deal of hocus-pocus in all such terminology. Mrs. Bedero, there's usually a very simple and logical explanation for everything.
Tell me, Doctor, do you really think...
Mr. Nick!
Yes, Mr. Nick! Yes, Daria?
Mr. Nick, you'll have to come up. The child is screaming so. He'll make himself sick.
Doctor, you see, my women are turning this house into a bedlam. If you'll excuse me for a moment. Come along, Daria.
Oh, Dr. Bailey.
This is the chance you've been waiting for. How do I follow him? How do I go upstairs?
In the drawing room, behind the bookcase, there's a secret passage. Nick doesn't know I ever found it.
Where does it go?
To my room. There's a door connecting to the nursery. Oh, hurry, Doctor. Please, hurry.
All the witches, Alec. All the witches who work in the dark. Ugly witches. And the more beautiful they are when the sun is up, the blacker and uglier they grow when it gets dark. And what they want are little boys like you. Oh, no, not you. And do you know why? Because Daddy put up magic bars to keep you safe. But you mustn't tell. It's a secret. You mustn't tell Daria or your mother, ever. Daria's an ugly witch, isn't she? But not so dangerous as a beautiful witch. They're the really dangerous ones.
Mommy's beautiful.
Hush. Now I'm going to leave you and...
Papa! I saw it! It did get in! I saw it, Papa!
Where?
You think he has an idea? You think he suspects?
I don't know. I'd better try not to find out tonight. But I've got to talk to you alone.
Where?
My office tomorrow afternoon at 2. You've got to make it. It's important.
Doctor, I'm sorry I'm late. I wanted to be sure I...
I wasn't followed.
Alida, do you trust me?
Yes.
Then you've got to be honest with me.
You saw something last night when you went upstairs. It's Alec. He's doing something to him.
Please, you can't cry now. You've got to be calm or you can't help me. That's the girl. Now, will you answer a question?
About what?
Alexander Gregory.
No.
Alida, you've got to. Alec was in love with you, wasn't he? Of course he was. He must have been. He sent you daisies.
Does that have to mean anything?
Did to me. I pictured you with daisies, too. Did you love Alec?
No. I liked him. He was nice.
But Nick was jealous?
Well, he never showed it, not until after Alec was dead.
And then?
Nick said it was my fault, that I'd killed him, as surely as though I'd pushed him under that cab.
And it was Nick's idea to name your boy Alec, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, Hunt, I'm afraid.
Oh, you mustn't be. You mustn't ever be afraid again. There are two of us now, and I think I know what Nick is up to.
What?
Alida, last night I found something on that secret stairway, apparently dropped there in a hurry.
What? What?
A bunch of American Beauty roses.
So it was Nick. It was Nick all the time. Hunt, I've got to get out of that house.
I've already arranged it. A quiet little place out in the country. Come on, we'll go home and pick up the boy.
That's strange. Frank should open the door. This isn't his day off.
Well, your butler must have gone on strike. Do you have a key?
Yes. Oh, here it is.
Yeah, there we are.
It's so dark.
Yes, let's have a little light.
Hunt.
Thanks.
Hunt, the baby.
Oh, I'll bet he's sound asleep. You go on up and see. Go on, I've got a call to make. Hello? Is Clagg there? Well, tell him to call me at Nick Bedero's, will you? Parkway 7824. Yes, this is Hunt Bailey. It's important. Thanks.
Dr. Bailey, I presume?
Nick.
Well, it's amazing how you fulfill every plan I make for you. And don't be rash, Hunt. As you can see, I have a gun.
With a silencer.
No more sound than a popping cork. And by the way, we're alone. I've sent the servants away for the evening.
Where's the boy?
Upstairs, in his crib. You needn't worry about him for the present. You know, Hunt, it would be interesting to know your sensations at this moment.
You're mad, Nick. Completely mad. Do you know that?
Oh, that's an old story. I think I first knew it when I was 4 years old. I heard a cook of ours say, "That ugly brat as good as killed his mother and his father." And I killed Alec, too, of course.
But, Nick, you won't kill me.
Oh, you think not? You love Alida, don't you?
Yes, I love her.
I knew it. That first day, the way you looked at her. And last night, following me upstairs. I decided then that you must be next.
But you won't touch Alida.
It won't be necessary. Her or the boy. Did I tell you we've had trouble with our furnace lately? It's a gas furnace, you know, and it leaks. Can't you smell the gas?
You're mad, Nick. Completely unreasonably mad.
She'll stop for a while to comfort the boy. She won't even notice what's happening. Then afterward, I'll carry you up there, too. After the explosion. I haven't told you about that, have I? After the explosion, they'll find you there, together.
Quit bluffing, Nick. You couldn't go through with that.
Why not? You wouldn't be the first.
And I won't be the next. You couldn't stand it, Nick. Alida and me, together up there, dead or alive. You'd be tormented, Nick. Just the two of us, alone.
Stop it.
Alida and me.
Stop it, do you hear me?
No one else.
Stop it! Stop it, do you hear? Stop it! Stop it, or I'll...
I rather thought you'd give me an opening. Now when you come to... The gas!
Alida! Alida!
And you see, Alec, this witch was a very good witch. She wore a blue dress and red shoes. And she had hair like yours and deep blue eyes.
Like Mommy?
Yes, and she laughed like your Mommy, too. And at night, she flew around in a red broomstick and finding all the things that got lost during the day. A kitten and a puppy and a...
little boy. What did she find last night?
That's for tomorrow. Now you run along and play.
Watch me, Mommy. I'm going to catch a beautiful witch.
Oh, Hunt, you're doing wonders with him.
He's got a lot of good stuff in him. Meaning he's a great deal like his Mommy.
When I think of it, Hunt, what might have happened
If Clagg hadn't tried to telephone you, if he hadn't been worried when the phone didn't answer, if he hadn't come by...
Lita, that's all past. It's out of your life. When the house burned down, that burned everything clean for you.
They never found him, did they? Poor Nick.
Darling, did I ever tell you how becomingly you were in a field of daisies?
Thank you, George Brandt, Adolph Monchu, and Ruth Hussey for a thrilling half hour.
Mr. Bradley, the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house, both supported largely by this program, are doing such magnificent work that we consider it a privilege to appear here with the Lady Esther Screen Guild players. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Hussey. Ladies, it used to take months to travel from New York to California, and women used to spend an hour or more daily caring for their skin. But today, science has found a way to make your skin look fresher and younger, and you spend only 5 or 10 minutes a day. Here's how you do it. At least once a day, smooth on Lady Esther four-purpose face cream and wipe it off. Then immediately repeat this treatment. A second time, smooth on the cream and wipe it off. You can use Lady Esther four-purpose face cream as often as you want, but at least once daily, use this double application to get at the stubborn, clinging, oily film which clouds your skin. Then see what happens. I know what happens because so many women tell me how wonderfully this helps keep their skin softer and smoother with a clearer, fresher, younger look. And you need the help of no other cream to do this. Lady Esther four-purpose face cream alone does all the four things your skin needs most for beauty. If you will use Lady Esther four-purpose face cream in the way I suggest to combat that clinging, clouding, oily film, I promise that friends will stop you and say, "You're looking so well, so refreshed. Have you been away on a holiday?"
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present The First Year. It will star Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. Be sure to listen. Experiment Perilous was produced and directed for Lady Esther by Bill Lawrence, adapted by Harry Cronman, and presented through the courtesy of its author, Margaret Carpenter and RKO Pictures, producers of the Technicolor production Sinbad the Sailor, starring Douglas Fairbanks Jr. and Maureen O'Hara. Ruth Hussey has just completed a New York starring engagement in State of the Union. Adolph Monchu will soon be seen in the Andrew Stone production, The Bachelor's Daughters. George Brent will soon be seen in Temptation, an international production. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther face cream to buy a box of Lady Esther face powder. So remember, ask for the largest size. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Tonight's Lady Esther Screen Guild show is being heard by our servicemen and women overseas through the worldwide shortwave and network facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.